Hello, this is Deirdre Nealon, editor of The Healing Muse. The stereotype of EMTs is usually one of bravery and adrenaline. How else do they rush into the mouth of the unknown, steady and hopeful that they can save lives? Karen Donnelly Hayes, a writer from Ohio, sent us an essay called Road Trip. I'm going to read an excerpt. You can reach with her tipping point. The final drunk driver's carnage that changes her ability to handle this. Road Trip, Karen Donnelly Hayes. Decades ago, when I trained to become a paramedic, I had a passion to come to the rescue, to step in and make a difference, take control of chaos, save lives. I discovered the first time I performed CPR that it was just like we'd practiced on Annie the mannequin, except for the airway and the ribs. In a dead or dying person, the airway is flaccid, much harder to manage than Annie's. And with a dead or dying person, when you do chest compressions, you feel the patient's ribs and cartilage snap and crack under your palms. Your first impulse is to pull back, but you don't. You push through it to the heart of the matter because you must. It's the only way. I don't know really if the accident happened before or after I had stopped counting how many times I'd done CPR or how many fatal wrecks I'd worked. Regardless, I wasn't thinking about heart attacks or trauma arrests that morning. I was thinking about the long road trip my EMT partner and I had, taking a patient from Cleveland to a rehab facility in West Virginia. It was the best kind of road trip, a beautiful sunny September day and only one patient. A stable patient at that, in my care for the entire shift. Several hours into our trip, we happened upon an accident which had just occurred. With most accidents, EMS personnel have time to prepare while responding. Not so here. The wreck so fresh, dust still swirled as I stepped from the squad. This was a bad accident, perhaps not the worst I'd seen, though plenty bad enough. Enough to make your adrenaline surge and your mouth turn cottony. But even without the normal response time to brace for the task, I walked into the rubble knowing I was a paramedic doing what I'd been trained to do, to save lives in crisis, and knowing my competence gave me confidence that helped temper the anxiety and adrenaline surge. But the baby changed everything. I didn't even know she was there at first. I was preoccupied trying to take care of the three people I did know were there, one critical, one serious but stable, one in remarkably good condition, considering there was nothing left of the car. The semi-conscious driver, she was the crucial one, was lying on her back on the pavement, the shoulder strap of her seatbelt still around her. That's how demolished the car was. I was working on her, inserting an IV, getting vital signs, when someone standing next to me said, "There's a baby in the back." I looked at the man who had spoken, at his face pinched, how he pointed off to the right, a baby, in the back, in the median, a baby. How had I missed that? A punch in the stomach, but already I was getting up from my squad by the driver, even as I looked past the man, pointing toward what had been the back of the car. There was a baby ejected? Good God, had I not assessed the scene well enough to miss a baby in the median? I stepped around the back of the car, each step weighted, the median coming more into view with each step. Step, step, but there was no baby in the median. All this stepping and looking took maybe 4 or 5 seconds.